This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. If you remember, like last week, what we talked about, the last chapter we talked about Babun fil amali wa tuli. There's a chapter about having extended hope, right? Having extended hope in a long life. And we talked about the dangers of that, the fact that, yes, Allah Azza wa Jal instilled that in us, that all of us hope to live. And not live, you know, for a year or two, but for extended time. And that has its benefits. But if it's not contained, then it could delay a lot of good things, including repentance and whatever Allah is happy with. And that is corrupting. It's very corrupting. When you continue to believe that I have tomorrow, and so you postpone all the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves for the sake of that false hope that there is always a tomorrow. So Al-Bukhari rahimahullah continues along that theme in the next chapter. The title of it is Babun man balagha 60 sana faqad a'thara Allah ilayhi fil umur. This is a chapter regarding or on he who reaches 60 years of age, then Allah Azza wa Jalla had removed his excuse when it comes to his age. Meaning that that person will not or cannot have an excuse with Allah Azza wa Jal saying, I didn't have time. I didn't have time to repent. I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to understand and reflect. I didn't have it. Is if you reach 60 and beyond, of course, then أعذر الله إليه أعذر أي أزال عذره. A'dhara mean Allah had removed all excuses. Says, why? لِقَوْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Because Allah said, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. زاد البخاري يعني الشيب. He says, because Allah said in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ. Did we not let you live? A period of which, مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ يَتَذَكَّرُ. A period of which that if one wanted to remember, he could remember. That is, we gave you enough time for you to remember, for you to reflect. Did we not give you that enough time? And then in addition to it, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And also, النَّذِيرُ, the warner, came to you. Al-Bukhari adds, يَعْنِي means a shape, gray hair. So النَّذِيرُ, it doesn't say in the Quran, what is this the nadir that comes to us? So some said, it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A prophet is a nadir. So people living at his time or after his time, because they know what he said, he is a nadir. So there is a hujjah that had been established. There is proof that had been presented to you that there is a day of judgment and there is a grave questioning, and so all this is a reminder. So some said An-Nadir is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some said An-Nadir is people dying around you. That is a sign for you, because you could see death. Someone is alive and is, you know, full of life and athletic, and then they drop dead. And another person drops dead. And another person drops dead. And then what does that tell you? That those who are alive are dying, and I also will face the same consequence. That also is a nadir. And a third thing, a third interpretation is a shape, gray hair. So when gray hair comes to your head and beard, it means that what? Remember. This is a reminder. So Allah Azza wa Jal considers it to be proof, or considers it to be an establishment of proof against a person. If he gives him a time to remember and he doesn't remember, then Allah will ask you, didn't you have enough time? You did. Why didn't you reflect and think and change? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْذَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَى مْرِئٍ. That's the first hadith. أَعْذَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَى مْرِئٍ أَخَّرَ أَجَلَهُ حَتَّى بَلَّغَهُ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. Is Allah had removed the excuse of someone that he delayed his death until he reached 60 years of age. Had removed his excuse. Now, you may lose your excuses before that age, but when you reach 60, then you can't come to Allah Azza wa Jalla and you say, I didn't have enough time. I didn't see signs. Because by that time, what's happened? What has happened? By that time, when you've reached 60, your body has started to weaken. You're not the youthful, vibrant person that you were once. So you have problems with your body. What does that tell you now? If you're driving a new car versus a car that is getting old, when it gets old, you see like noises coming from the engine, right? And the tire and this and that. What does that tell you? That it's about to die. It's about to go away. Those are the signs that a thing can give to you to tell you that it's leaving or it can't function. So same thing with the body. It hurts here, it hurts there. It's not functioning as it was. So you see signs. What do you also see when you're 60? The shahwa has dimmed a little bit. The desire that you have is not as intense. The desire for women or the desire for this or that, it's not as intense. So that also had subsided. What also do you see or happens when you're 60? You see other people around you who have died. And you have time to reflect on the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You have time to learn. You have time to think. So that is enough time. So if a person dies and they are 60 and above, they can't, when they face Allah Azza wa Jalla, say, Ya Allah, I didn't have time. And maybe a person who is 20 years of age, and he goes to Allah and he says, Ya Allah, I didn't have time. Maybe Allah will not accept that from him, but it's worse when you're 60. You understand what I'm saying here? That even if you're young and you may die, Allah Azza wa Jalla may not accept from you the saying that I didn't have time. Or maybe he would. But it's much worse when you're 60 and above and still wayward, still away from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because why? What's left? What is left? You've left the dunya behind you because your body, right? It's not, as we said, is not accepting of its desires as it was. So you left the dunya behind and you know that what lies ahead is less than what has passed. So what are you waiting for? So, أَعْذَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَى مْرِئٍ أَدْأَخَّرَ أَجَلَهُ حَتَّى بَلَّغَهُ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. And so it does tell you that 60 years is a milestone. 60 years is a milestone. And also add to it that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ وَأَقَلُّهُمْ مَنْ يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ. He says, the age of my ummah is between 60 and 70. The lifespan of my ummah, members of my ummah, is between 60 and 70, and few among them will surpass that. So the Prophet ﷺ died when he was what? 63. Right? So you understand that most of the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ will be between 60 and 70. So when you reach 60, in your mind, what is left? Few years maybe. And then what? So you have to rush back to Allah Azza wa Jalla, right? Now, there's of course a problem with this, right? The obstacle. The next hadith explains what that obstacle is. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَزَالُ قَلْبُ الْكَبِيرِ شَابًا فِي اثْنَتَيْنِ فِي حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا وَطُولِ الْأَمَلِ. He says that the heart of the elder man or woman, continues to be youthful, meaning strong, youthful, in loving two things, in loving the dunya, and having hope and an extended life. It says when you're older, your body is what? Gets what? Weaker. But not your love for the dunya and not your love for extended life. To live more. Is that, that does not subside. It doesn't go down. Remains youthful. Like just a young person. It remains youthful in loving the dunya. And loving the dunya here is love of money. And everything else that it buys. So it continues to love those things. Right? And in another hadith that, you know, follows it, so it's exactly the same, but it just adds a little bit. He says, يَكْبَرُ بْنُ Adam. He says, the son of Adam ages, or the child of Adam ages, or grows up. وَيَكْبَرُ مَعَهُ And what grows with him is, حُبُّ الْمَالِ وَطُولُ الْعُمُرِ And grows with him, love of money and a long life. So it doesn't only remain youthful, actually it grows with you. As you grow, you also develop what? Increased love for life and increased love for money. So that's an obstacle. And when the Prophet ﷺ says this, it means that this is something in us. But we should never surrender to it. We should struggle and strive to conquer it. That no, I shouldn't be like that. But why does this happen? Because when you know that you have just a little bit to live, you love life more, right? And when you're young, you take risks, right? Plenty of physical risks even. Why? Because you don't think that you're going to die. You haven't experienced physical pain. So you will take a lot of physical risks maybe. And you think that you're going to survive it. When you're older, when you know what pain is and what it can do, when you see pain in other people, you never take that risk. Because life is precious. Similarly, right, if you think that you want to live forever, it's fine. You can risk life a little bit. But when you know that you only have a few years to go, you're going to hang on to every second. And you want it to continue and never end. And because also you need money to enjoy life, you will love money more. So you'll love money more and you will what? Love life more. And there's a kind of verse of poetry that says, إِنَّ الْكَرَى عِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ يَطِيبُ His sleep is sweetest just before you have to wake up. Right? Isn't it? So when you go to bed, right, in the beginning of your sleep, you go to bed, maybe you're sleeping, let's say for instance, you sleep at 10. And you find something interesting and whatever, and you stay till 10, 20, 10, 30, 11 o'clock. You think that you have plenty of time to sleep, right? And then you go to bed, whatever time you go to bed. You're supposed to wake, let's say, at 7. You wake up at 6:30. You look at the clock at 6:30. You say, no, I want to sleep. That half hour is the most precious and sweetest time you want to sleep in. You just love me, give me 5 minutes. Please, just, and you go back to bed, right? Because this is a common experience. Why? Because now you can't sleep anymore and you have to wake up. That's exactly that feeling. I can have leave this life. No. Every minute is precious and I love it and I want it to continue because I don't have a lot of time. And for that to be enjoyed, I need money. So I love money more. So that's a struggle. And that's a warning for all of us, because if you're young and you say to yourself, I'll wait till I'm ordered to repent, you're going to find an obstacle, because you're going to find your heart even more attached to the dunya, not less. Right? So if you want to be close to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you do it right now. Not when I grow up, when I'm old, when I retire, because when you retire, you'll have your own struggles, different than the struggles that you have now. And you're going to look back at the time that you could have done something about it and you'll regret it. Right? Just like a person who didn't study before an exam would say, I wish I'd have studied. I wish I had 1 hour just to study for this exam. I can't answer anything now. So, but regret at that moment is useless and fruitless. Now, So we do not lose hope, because after that chapter, a person who has reached 60 years of age and hasn't done much, or 70 and hasn't done much, they would say, or they could say, well, what is left? Am I done for? That's it? What is left for me? So that there is no despair. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, brings another chapter, the next chapter, that says, Babu al-amali alladhi yubtagha bihi wajhullah. This is a chapter about the actions by which you seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning that there is always something that you can do. Qala fihi Sa'd. Meaning like under that chapter, there's the hadith of Sa'd. And the hadith of Sa'd, part of it, when Sa'd asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, wa khallafu ba'da ashabi. He says, O Messenger of Allah, because Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was sick. And he wanted to give all of his money in donation. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, no, don't give all of your money in donation. The maximum that you can donate is the third. قَالْ لَعَلَّكَ أَنْ يَطُولَ بِكَ عُمُرٍ. He says, maybe you will live. You don't give it away. Maybe you will live. So he asked, O Prophet of Allah, أُخَلَّفُ بَعْدَ أَصْحَابِي, will I continue to live after my companions? Because he thought he's going to die. And the Prophet was telling him, maybe you are going to live. He says, will I live even after my companions? So he said, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُخَلَّفْ. He says, if you continue to live, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُخَلَّفَ فَتَعْمَلَ عَمَلًا تَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ بِهِ. He says, if you stay behind them or after them, whatever you do to please Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will elevate you because of it. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُخَلَّفَ فَتَعْمَلَ عَمَلًا تَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا زَادَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ دَرَجَةً وَرِفْعًا. Whatever you do to please Allah Azza wa Jal, after maybe the death of your companions, Allah will elevate you with it. Meaning that every day that you live, if you do something to please Allah, Allah will bring you closer to Him because of it. Meaning what? As long as you're alive, there is what? Hope. You can't go and say, I'm 60 and I'm done for. There are people who started to memorize the Quran at 60. And they finished it. Right? At 70 and they finished it. So there is no reason for you to say, and it's not just, I'm not just saying just the memorization of the Quran. I'm saying that as long as you're alive, it doesn't matter how old you are. As long as you're alive, there is hope. Because the only thing that you need to do is today, I have only today, start doing the things that you're supposed to do today and have an intention. That if Allah, maybe I'm 60 now, if Allah were to extend my life until I'm 65 and 70, I would finish the Quran. I would finish this or I would finish that. But that gives you hope in Allah's forgiveness. So he says, Fihi Sa'd. So the hadith of Sa'd should be included here. And the hadith here that follows, and one of the narrators here says, وَزَعَمَ مَحْمُودٌ قَلْ أَخْبَرَنِي مَحْمُودُ بْنُ الرَّبِيعِ. Mahmud ibn Rabi' stated or told me, وَزَعَمَ, and he said, this Mahmud, أَنَّهُ عَقَلَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَقَلَ مَجَّةً مَجَّهَ مِنْ دَلْوٍ كَانَتْ فِي دَارِهِمْ. So one of the narrators of the hadith, right, in the chain itself, he said, and Mahmud claimed, or said, stated, that he remembers the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he remembered that the Prophet sprinkled water on his face from a bucket that they had in their home. This was just something in the sanad, in the chain. So he's saying that, what is he saying? That he narrated this hadith, and he's saying what? I was very young. He's not the narrator of the hadith, he heard it from somebody. But he said, I do remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was 5. He says, I remember that he came to our home and we had a bucket of water. And so he took some water into his mouth, and then from that water he sprinkled on my face. So he says, I remember this, and he was 5. He says, why did he did that sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said either he was playful, he was playing with that boy, or that was for barakah. Okay? So what is the first hadith here? The Prophet ﷺ says, لَنْ يُوَافِي عَبْدٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ النَّارِ. He says, if a person arrives on the Day of Judgment saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, meaning have said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, seeking only the face of Allah with that, except that Allah will forbid his entry into hellfire. The hellfire, okay, will not touch him. So this hadith gives a lot of hope, but of course it has its conditions. So a person arrives on the Day of Judgment and he says, La ilaha illallah. He believes it. Okay, but there's another condition for it. What's that condition? Ikhlas. That you do this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That this is from your heart for Allah. That word, La ilaha illallah, that belief, that statement, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from our hearts, will save any person from hellfire. Now it has two types of safety, or offers two types of safety, La ilaha illallah. The first one is, it saves one from being permanently placed in hellfire. Meaning that if you say La ilaha illallah from your heart, then you will not be in hellfire forever. Even though, a person may be punished temporarily in hellfire and then taken out. So now we know that anyone who says La ilaha illallah will not be in hellfire forever. But it depends on the strength of La ilaha illallah, the strength of ikhlas, the strength of love that you have. If it's not very strong, you will have some other sins that you have to pay for. Unless Allah forgives, of course. But you have other sins that you have to pay for. So some Muslims will enter hellfire, though they say La ilaha illallah, right? They will enter hellfire, be purified, and they leave. And they enter Jannah. So that is one part of tahreem, that they will never be in hellfire forever. Another part of tahreem is that some people will say La ilaha illallah so sincerely that it itself will burn any other sin that they have, though they will have sin, but it will burn any other sin that they have, that hellfire will never touch them. Not ever touch them. So, do they have sins? Yes, they do. Okay? That famously, Sahib al-Bitaqa, the hadith of Sahib al-Bitaqa, the person who comes to Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment and he will have so many sins. Okay? We don't know what those sins are, but he has sins. The records have sins in them. And so that person, when he sees all that, thinks that he is doomed. So Allah says, do you have any other thing that you can present to counter this? So the person says, no, I don't. Then the hadith says, then a card or a bitaqa will be brought, and in it there will be La ilaha illallah. Barakallahu fiqh. In it there will be La ilaha illallah, and will put on the scale and will be heavier than all those rolls and rolls of sins that he had. Will outweigh all of that, and he will go to Jannah because of it. Because of La ilaha illallah. So that's an example of a person whom La ilaha illallah helped him so much that he'd never entered hellfire. But of course we know that not all Muslims will have that, because some Muslims will still go to hellfire. So this hadith can be understood in both ways. And that the more that you love Allah, rely on Him, call on Him, and this is done from your heart, the more that your heart is a slave of Allah indeed, your sins will not matter as much. You will commit fewer sins and the sins will be forgiven by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. But that gives you hope. It doesn't matter. If you're 60, 70, 80, 100, it doesn't matter. You can always come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So here you want to strike a balance between having so much deceptive hope that I have forever and losing what? Losing all hope together. Right? The next one, the next hadith, is When Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Allah عز وجل says, يقول الله تعالى ما لعبد المؤمن عندي جزاء إذا قبضت صفيه من أهل الدنيا ثم احتسبه إلا الجنة. He says, Allah عز وجل says, so the Prophet says that Allah is saying, my slave, my believing slave, if he loses his beloved, his chosen beloved from this dunya, ثُمَّ احْتَسَبَ, then he is patient with that, awaiting the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, my reward for that, for him is Jannah. That I have no reward for him if he does this except Jannah. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us through his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that if you lose Safiyuka, who is this Safi? Safi is your beloved, chosen, special one. So who could this be? Could be anyone. Could be one of your parents, if they are what? Close to you. Could be your wife or husband, if they are close to you. Could be your son and daughter, when they are close to you. Anyone who is chosen and beloved. And you lose them. ثُمَّ احْتَسَبَهُ. What does احْتَسَبَهُ mean? Okay, the word hasaba or hisab comes from what? From counting, right? Yeah, that's familiar, from to count, okay, numbers. Ihtasaba is what? You want rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal for it. See, be patient. Ihtasabahu meaning, I want rewards from Allah for it. I want this and this and this for the sake of my patience. So that you're patient because of it. ثُمَّ احْتَسَبَ. And that is the reason why there is ihtisab. Because you could have two options. You have two options. You can panic. And it's easy at that time to panic because that what the tragedy is heavy. You lost your loved one. So you could panic. And you can curse. And you can be angry. The question is, will it do anything? Does it? Doesn't change the fact that it happened. So if you can keep it together when this bad news happens, it's in keep it together and remember Allah Azza wa Jal as soon as it happens, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Like say it, but mean what you are saying. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Ya Allah, reward me for my musibah and replace it with something better. Astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah. And you keep remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and someone reminds you. And that's why it's important to be around people who could remind you. He says, no, be patient for Allah's sake. Be patient. This is something that happens to all of us. Be patient for Allah's sake. I know the loss is difficult, but just be patient and expect the best from Allah Azza wa Jal. Heaven from Allah Azza wa Jal if you are patient. He says, if that's the case, then Allah Azza wa Jal will grant that person Jannah. So that is one of the things that if you live and Allah extends your life, you will lose loved ones. There are other sets of hadith or another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that if a person loses three kids, and of course he's patient with that, if he loses three kids, then Allah will put them in Jannah. Then the Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, and two? He said, and two. So the narrators of the hadith, right, later on, they've asked, you didn't ask him about one, if he loses one? They said, no. So they said, I think that if you were to ask him about one, he would even say yes, that even if you lose one child, and you're patient with that, that Allah will reward you Jannah for it. I think if you would ask about one, he would say even yes. He said, I think so. He would have said yes. And this hadith confirms it, because As-Safi is the chosen beloved one. So if you lose one child, and they are so close to you, and you're so close to them, and you are patient with this, and how would you say, how can I be patient with something like this? If you know about it, And this hadith really settles and enters your heart. And you get ready for the fact that if Allah Azza wa Jal decides, and He could decide, that I were to lose someone, I'm going to be patient for Allah's sake. I'm going to be thinking about the fact that if I'm patient now, I'll be in Jannah bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. It's worth it. And I'm going to remember, try to remember that their departure is not permanent. I lost them now, but in a few years I'll meet them again. So that makes it easy, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, for a year or two or five or ten, it doesn't. I'm not going to see them, but they're not. They did not disappear. They're around, right? Of course, you can't contact them, of course. But I mean, they're around in the sense of what? They're alive. And I will get to also see them again. We'll be reunited. And if you want to be permanently reunited with them, right, in Jannah, then be patient. And you make dua for them. And that is the thing that gives you hope and support and patience at times where it seems very bleak. So, as we said, if you live long enough, if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you life, one of the things that will happen is that your dear ones around you will start dying. So if you get ready for that and you're patient, and Allah Azza wa Jal also, that'll be one of the reasons why Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you. Wallahu alam. So if we start the next chapter, it will take us too long. So I think, inshallah, we will stop here and see if you guys have any questions. And having hope, Allah Azza wa Jal had, as we said, has instilled in us that desire or love to live for a long life. And it has its benefits, advantages, and disadvantages. So the advantages are what? The advantages is it allows you to do something, allows you to build, to start projects, to plan. And through that planning, you can benefit a lot of people. Good scholars write books if they thought they're not going to live until they finish them? No. Good scholars collect the hadith that they thought, if I started traveling, I'll die in this travel? No. So Allah Azza wa Jal, as some scholars have said, Allah Azza wa Jal sometimes removes the remembrance of death from you so that you can do something beneficial. Otherwise, if it's constantly on your mind, you won't be able to do these things. You won't be motivated. So it has advantages. And there is that saying, which is not a hadith. It's a good opportunity to mention it. اعمل لدنياك اعمل لآخرتك كأنك تموت غدا واعمل لدنياك كأنك تعيش أبدا. He says, work for your akhirah as if you're dying tomorrow, and work for your dunya as if you're living forever. That is not a hadith. And some of it is accurate. Okay? So work for your akhirah as if you are dying tomorrow. Absolutely true. Work for your dunya as if you're living forever has two sides to it. One side is right and one side is wrong. The right side is what? As if you are living forever, meaning plan. And plant good seeds. And try to think about ways that you can maintain those seeds for as long as you live. So like plan big. So I want to memorize the Quran, as we said. I want to build a school for the sake of Allah. I want to educate 1,000 people, you know, for the sake of Allah. Plan big. Things that may take years and decades for them to continue, but you plant the seed and you work on it, hoping that if Allah extends your life, that you're going to see this project through and you will finish it bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So that's a good side. The other side, the wrong side of it, you know, work for your dunya as if you're living forever, might indicate that what? Collect as much as you can because you will be living forever and ever. That is the wrong side. So that's why it's not a hadith. But it's also good to plan big for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. So then think about, what is it that you want to leave behind when your life ends? What is it that you, what is your project, your life project? It could be anything that Allah Azza wa Jalla enables you to do. I want to plant seeds And I wanted these seeds to continue to grow even after my death. So what is your life projects? For some people, as I said, it could be Quran. For other people, it's volunteer work where they're helping orphans and widows and the refugees and all of that. For other people, it's teaching. For other people, it is raising their kids and making sure that their kids are going to be, you know, be righteous and they will have righteous kids and so on and so on. What is your project in life? Pick one and work on it. And as long as you're living, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you the strength to continue, you know, developing it. And as I said, plan as if you are going to be living for 10, 20, 50 years. It doesn't matter. But also on the other side, on the flip side of it, don't let that distract you from the fact that you may not live. So your akhirah needs your maximum attention right now. So if Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you with a long life, with a lot of righteous deeds in it, you'll be among the best of people. But if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a long life and you fill it with a lot of sins, then you'll be among the worst of people. So long life, again, could be a ni'mah or a disaster. Just like money could be a ni'mah or a disaster. So, inshallah, you have questions about anything that we said today? So, I don't see any. I'm sorry, yes, tafaddal. Nah. It's mistaken sometimes as a hadith, right? Some people even, I don't know if they quote it or they mention it or when they hear it, they think it's a hadith. But it has no basis, right, in the hadith literature. But maybe it's a saying that somebody had said, I don't know who, at one point. And sometimes people mistake it to be as a hadith, right? I'm not sure its origin. But I know that when they check it, they say that it has no basis as a hadith. But sometimes, you know, Allahu A'lam, like, I'm not talking about this in particular, but a lot of athar, a sahabi sometimes says it, a tabi'i sometimes says it, tabi'i sometimes says it, and gets mixed up, you know, into a hadith. Some people claim to be that it is, or they forget. So that's what I think that this thing may be, although I don't know who said it. Allahu A'lam. But sometimes it could organize your head, right? So, Yes. No, so it's alhamdulillah, it's good that we talked about it, at least so you would know. So all of us would know. Barakallahu feekum. Khair, inshaAllah. So we'll see you, inshaAllah, next week at the same time. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.